simpler social problems have proved intractable. 136. If anyone still imagines that it would be possible to reform the system in such a way as to protect freedom from technology, let him consider how clumsily, and for the most part unsuccessfully, our society has dealt with other social problems that are far more simple and straightforward. Among other things, the system has failed to stop environmental degradation, political corruption, drug trafficking, or domestic abuse. 137. Take our environmental problems, for example. Here the conflict of values is straightforward. Economic expedience now versus saving some of our natural resources for our grandchildren. But on this subject we get only a lot of blather and obfuscation from the people who have power, and nothing like a clear, consistent line of action, and we keep on piling up environmental problems that our grandchildren will have to live with. Attempts to resolve the environmental issue consist of struggles and compromises between different factions, some of which are ascendant at one moment, others at another moment. The line of struggle changes with the shifting currents of public opinion. This is not a rational process, nor is it one that is likely to lead to a timely and successful solution to the problem. Major social problems, if they get solved at all, are rarely or never solved through any rational, comprehensive plan. They just work themselves out through a process in which various competing groups, pursuing their own, usually short-term, self-interest, arrive, mainly by luck, at some more or less stable modus vivendi. In fact, the principles we formulated in paragraphs 100 through 106 make it seem doubtful that rational, long-term social planning can ever be successful. Here, we are considering only the conflict of values within the mainstream. For the sake of simplicity, we leave out of the picture outsider values, like the idea that wild nature is more important than human economic welfare. Self-interest is not necessarily material self-interest. It can consist in fulfillment of some psychological need, for example, by promoting one's own ideology or religion. 138. Thus it is clear that the human race has at best a very limited capacity for solving even relatively straightforward social problems. How then is it going to solve the far more difficult and subtle problem of reconciling freedom with technology? Technology presents clear-cut material advantages, whereas freedom is an abstraction that means different things to different people, and its loss is easily obscured by propaganda and fancy talk. 139. And note this important difference. It is conceivable that our environmental problems, for example, may someday be settled through a rational, comprehensive plan. But if this happens, it will be only because it is in the long-term interest of the system to solve these problems. But it is not in the interest of the system to preserve freedom or small group autonomy. On the contrary, it is in the interest of the system to bring human behavior under control to the greatest possible extent. Thus, while practical considerations may eventually force the system to take a rational, prudent approach to environmental problems, equally practical considerations will force the system to regulate human behavior ever more closely, preferably by indirect means that will disguise the encroachment on freedom. This isn't just our opinion. Eminent social scientists, such as James Q. Wilson, have stressed the importance of socializing people more effectively. Note. A qualification. It is in the interest of the system to permit a certain prescribed degree of freedom in some areas. For example, economic freedom, with suitable limitations and restraints, has proved effective in promoting economic growth. But only planned, circumscribed, limited freedom is in the interest of the system. The individual must always be kept on a leash, even if the leash is sometimes long. See paragraphs 94 and 97.